We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Recorded live at the 2022 NACTA Convention in Las Vegas, this is From the Chair. Here is your host, Mike Hamilton.
Welcome to today's episode of From the Chair. I'm your host, Mike Hamilton. We are recording live at NACTA 2022 in Las Vegas with several athletic directors over the next few days. And so now over the next several weeks, you'll see some of these broadcasts. We hope you enjoy this time together. It's great to be together in person. And so today, my guest is Dave Hickey from the University of Arizona. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks, Mike. I really appreciate you having me and the opportunity to see each other, be with each other, as you say, and spend a little time. It's good.
It is absolutely amazing. Really, first time in 3 years we're able to be together for NACTA. And I know it's been coming, right? Fans and back in stands and all those kind of things. But there's nothing like actually sitting with someone face to face.
Being in the presence of each other and being in the presence of other people, it's nice to be back to that. And always good to be with colleagues and friends and, watch this industry continue to grow and have the opportunity to build on itself and kind of maybe transform itself as we go forward.
No doubt. Well, this is a particular time where we need that. A lot of things happening in today's world, right?
Sure.
So
is.
We'll talk about a little bit of that in a minute. I wanted to come off the top. I'm going to talk about career in a minute, but the first thing I want to talk about, Arizona basketball is back. Not that it ever went away, right? But,
that's right.
But certainly you made some noise here this season with the hire of Tommy and the productivity of your team. And look, you represent an iconic brand in the basketball landscape, back to Coach Olson and even beyond. And I know that's a serious hire when you look to how you're going to replace a coach in basketball. And I find it interesting, you hired an assistant coach, albeit one who's had great success and been around for a long time. Tell me a little bit about that search process and how you landed on Tommy and then what you've seen in terms of the kind of coach he is in for your program.
Yeah, well, it's great to have our program, headed in such a positive direction and under the leadership of Tommy. It is, as you said, it's an iconic brand. It is a blue blood, it's a gold star program, however you want to label it. Basketball is really important to the university, to our community, to our alumni base. So when you do get to those moments where you decide to make a change in leadership, those are key, pivotal moments, and you want to make sure you have the right person. As with any search, it's really about trying to step back and identifying, hey, what do we really need? Where is the program? What are some of the things we want to change or move in a different direction? What are the things that we need the right fit of a person to continue to carry on? How does our community feel about, the head coach, what they want out of a head coach? All of those things are critically important. So I think it's important. It's really key at the beginning to step back a little bit and really examine that. Then you start to go forward, looking at a lot of different people. Obviously, you're going to spread that wide and far. I think that the position deserves that. The brand deserves that. Look and talk to a lot of people that are interested in the job, that can help you along the way identify candidates, that can give feedback. I mean, it's 24/7, as you know. Like, it's 24/7, and there's no shortage of information either of what you should or shouldn't do from people. We quickly settled in on Tommy as being a really intriguing candidate in this job. And, every time we kept coming back, hey, if we were to hire an assistant coach, where would we go? Tommy's name just kept coming up. And I don't think it was as much about, can you do this without hiring a sitting head coach? That way we need to have the right person that can come in and do it. And, Tommy'd been at Gonzaga for a long, long time, really been a key part of that program's growth, and been with Mark, Coach Few, for a long time, so really understood what was going on and was a key player in that. So that got us to heading in the direction of Tommy, and he's done a wonderful job. And it's been, it was a miraculous first year to win a conference championship, to win your tournament championship in the conference, and then to be a number one seed. Our people are excited. Basketball is definitely back.
There's no doubt. And I know when you're in the search process, you're looking at all things, right? But a lot of it at the end of the day is speculative, right? You're kind of taking a flyer and saying this is the person for our program. So observations from now being in it, I remember thinking about a couple of basketball coaches I was involved with where you see, okay, this guy is really good out of timeouts. He calls great sets. This guy's an unbelievable recruiter. This guy's so phenomenal in the community. What stands out?
On Tommy, really good relationships with players, his staff, the way he deals with people. I think it was one of the things that I was so impressed with when I first met him was this is a genuine good person you want to be around, and he really draws you in. And like I said, very genuine in his approach. And I think that has helped build the entire framework of the program is those relationships. He is a relationship coach. Now, all of those things you said are really important. How do you X and O it? What's your recruiting pipelines? How do you recruit? How do you go about that? How are you going to interact with your boosters, with your fan base? Be connected, as I mentioned, in the community, which is really important in Tucson. In Tucson, and our alums all want to kind of feel like, hey, they can grab onto the coattails of that coach, and they're with them the whole way. They want to know their head coach. They want to be able to see him and feel him out in the community. So that's an important piece. And I really think Tommy combines all of that, but he starts with his genuine relationship building with everybody he connects with, players, coaches, our staff, and certainly our alums and supporters. That's been really impressive.
Yeah, so as you know, basketball, I wouldn't call your situation a rebuilding situation, but if you're in basketball, you can make a change pretty quickly in terms of the presence of your program with a couple guys. Mm-hmm. Football is a little bit different from that. It's a slower build a lot of times, right? And so Jed Fish is still, I'll say he's still relatively new, right? And I know Jed, as you know that I do, and I see him as a high-energy guy. Talk a little bit about the progress of, first of all, who is Jed, for those who don't know Jed, but then also where you see football at this point.
Yeah, sure. Jed Fish, our new head coach, really been in it now a little over a year. But Jed was a longtime assistant, both at the college level and the NFL level, on the offensive side of the ball primarily, really creative on the offensive side, but has worked with some phenomenal coaches. His career starts at the University of Florida with Steve Spurrier. He comes to us from Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. And everything in between kind of has that same feel to it. Had been on campus at Minnesota, Miami, Michigan, UCLA, so has a college background, but also has been at a number of NFL spots where he took little things from there. And a guy who just absorbed so much. And so Jed comes in, really high energy, a hybrid model, I call it. We're not an NFL style model program. I think, but although we've moved from being a traditional college program, we've really gone to the hybrid where we have a, player personnel division, we have a recruiting division, we have a football operations division. an abundance of more staff, but really focused on running our football operation in a little bit different way, a more measured way, you know, more analytical manner. All of those things we've incorporated, and Jed brings that. He's a big thinker. He is a 24/7. I guess I go back. We hired six new head coaches in the last year. We have six new head coaches. I wouldn't recommend that for anybody. Yep. But again, all of them have a passion to recruit, and I think that's so important, your ability to go out and just relentless be able to recruit and have a real system to do that. And Jed certainly has done that. Our program, we made the decision with Jed, with our president, hey, we're going to strip the entire football program down, right down to the studs, and rebuild it, and have the patience, have the drive and desire to build it the right way. And we're gonna all have to be on board with that and see, you know, that it knows that that's a little bit slower. It's kind of like that old house that you remodel. Yep. You know, you get a little bit done and you're really happy with that, but you've got more to go until you finally get there. And that's how we've looked at it, and I think we continue to get a lot closer. Really good recruiting, and our best years are ahead of us. I was proud of our football program last year, and Jed and the staff's ability to motivate. I you know, we only had one win. That's hard to go through. You know, we are measured every day on those wins and losses. I was so proud of how our players continued to compete the entire year, and I think they set the tone for this new football program at Arizona, a new way to do things.
Look forward to a lot of success there. Let's talk about facilities for a second. We were talking offline here. You've done $80 million in facility work over the last few years. I know you've got a big project coming in golf I want you to talk about. First, I want to ask about McHale just for a minute.
Sure.
Given how important basketball is to your success and the tradition and the history there, how do you make sure that a facility that's been around for a while but is a really special place, how do you stay on top of it in terms of making that facility one that continues to thrive for the long haul?
I think this, Dana, 1973, McHale Center, iconic building in college basketball, some unbelievable memories there and moments right up through last season. But we have to continue to look at a building that was built, again, back in the 70s on how we serve our fans, how things have changed, the experience has changed. We've done improved a lot of club space, kind of cleared some things out, looked for more interactive ways for our fans to be connected inside the building. You know, we've improved our student athlete services there inside the building as well. That's a big part of your facilities, is how you serve your student athletes, how that experience for them can be excellent, like we all want it to be, whether that's locker rooms, training facilities, our strength and conditioning centers, our academics. You know, those are, and McHale is an interesting building. The athletic department primarily, like many of our places, every single staff member used to be in that building. Our football team used to dress in that building and walk across the street to the football stadium. You know, so this thing has grown and obviously become more specialized, and we need to utilize those spaces in a different way. And also, I think we've tried to find ways to upgrade the experience for our fans, premium spaces, quite frankly, opportunities to increase revenues for our, you know, our program. And so we're in the midst of that. And prior to my arrival, there was an outstanding about $40 million renovation to the facility, so that really upgraded it. We probably have another, you know, $60 million that we could do, but we chip away is what we do. We kind of take a few little things and try to see what we can accomplish. And that, I think, has been predicated by what we've gone through the last few years. You know, the opportunity, going through the pandemic, the uncertainties, all of us have challenges with our resources. How do we do this in smaller buckets now? But as we come out of that, we'll be looking at some pretty exciting things in McHale long term.
So you're a great golfing community, and your golf programs have had success for a long time. Talk to me a little bit about what's coming there.
Well, we're excited to, we've just announced a nearly $15 million golf facility that'll include clubhouse, locker room facilities, coaches' offices, brand new practice facility, short game facility, high-tech facility, you know, a new driving range, along with our local country club, the Tucson Country Club. We've partnered to build that together, and we've raised the money to put it, and we're starting to put a final run on the plans, and we hope within the next very soon we'll be putting a shovel in the ground. So that will house our golf programs. It's interesting. The weather's fabulous. We have tremendous golf in the Southwest and certainly in Tucson. Great history of golfers that have gone through on both the men's and women's side, national championships. But our teams have never had a central home. They've never really had a place to call their own. As I like to say, they've kind of worked out of the trunks of their car and gone to these great golf courses, and give them tons of credit and our coaches for getting there. But this will be a tremendous home for them. We're really proud of that. And will help our golf programs going forward. We want to be in it with all of our programs to contend and compete for championships, both at the conference level, but at the national level. That's very important in Tucson and at the University of Arizona, and our golf programs will continue to do that.
It's a great update. So let's pivot back to career for just a second. You and I were talking, you know, you had a long tenure at Oregon, a long tenure as athletic director at Central Michigan. You've now been at Arizona for 5 years. It would probably not be an exaggeration to say those are outlier type scenarios, right? Yeah. I remember when I was at Tennessee for 19 years, and a lot of people are amazed by that 19 years at one place.
Yeah.
You know, nobody does that anymore. Yeah. So obviously you're a stable guy, but you've also worked around people who obviously you've seen eye to eye on how to manage your business. Curious as to what stands out when you start thinking about why you've been at places for a long time.
That's a great question. My dad was a dentist, pretty straightforward. He kind of went to work at 8, and you know, by 5:45 we were all at the table having dinner every day, and you know, it was a nice cycle. There was a nice stable environment. So maybe that's a little bit of who I am in the back of my mind, but you know, this industry is so you know, fast moving, and people have to move around to move up in their careers. And I was really fortunate. My first job, I was at Michigan State for a short period of time, fortunate to get started there. But my really first job was to move to the West Coast and go to work for the University of Oregon.
Who was the AD then?
Bill Byrne.
You know,
and there's a great, I worked there through 4 different athletic directors, 3 different presidents, a lot of transition at Oregon, and somehow I continued to stay there and find my niches to continue. And so it really was almost like moving, though. I always say this, is that, well, all of those ADs brought different things to the table. There were different focuses, different visions, different initiatives, and so it was a very vibrant learning experience. We did not have the same athletic director and president for the 18 and a half years that I was there. And so it was a really vibrant place to learn and grow. And the story there, you know, is really, Oregon was a much different place in 1988 when I arrived to where it is obviously today. And to be part of that ride was again, a great career learning opportunity for me. I don't know if I could have gotten those kind of experiences in that manner if I bounced around, which again, no discredit to anyone. Just offered me the perfect opportunity to do that. And so to learn from those different athletes, Bill Byrne being the first, Rich Brooks, our head football coach, became the athletic director. Now, that was a different experience for a young professional to see the football coach come in and say, I'm going to be the athletic director. We had a vice president then. When Rich left, we had a vice president that came across campus to be our athletic director for a few years. And then Bill Moose, who finished off my career there. And Bill and I worked for a long time together. So, again, learning from different ways, different
totally different methodologies, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so that's offered me the chance. It offered me the chance to stay there for a long time, really feel comfortable about it. We have 3 children now who are grown, but I had 3 children at that time, and a terrific opportunity to go back to my home state, my wife's home state at Central Michigan, and be part of that program and become the athletic director and be back where my mom and dad were. Her mother was there, and our children could grow up with their grandparents a little bit. That was really important to who we were as a family. We made a commitment. If one of our sons entered high school, we were not going to leave. We were going to see that high school experience through. And so probably there's times there that maybe something could have happened, but we were really committed to that. And so I ended up staying where all 3 of them went through high school at Mount Pleasant. And it was a really good thing for our family. And I love that university. It was a terrific, terrific run. And again, I was close to it. I know so many people there. I have family who attended there and competed there. So my 2 sons went to all 3 of my sons graduated from there. My 2 sons competed in Division I baseball there. So it was a really special place. But then the opportunity to come back west. I love the west. All our time in the Pac-12, Pac-10, now Pac-12, to come back to Arizona. So
you've, between your time at Oregon and now your time as AD at Arizona, you've been in the league almost 25 years.
Yes.
So you've seen a lot of evolution of the conference. Obviously, new commissioner, still relatively new commissioner. Mm-hmm. I was telling you that as someone who has grown up in the Southeast traditionally, I know that there are fantastic athletic programs in the West, and sometimes they don't maybe get their due as much from a media exposure standpoint. But I'm curious your view of the evolution of the league, Georgia's leadership and how you go about making sure that you guys get the exposure that you need and deserve as a conference?
Well, I think George is the perfect leader, our new commissioner, George Kliokoff. A big thinker, really dynamic, wanting to move things forward. And I'm very bullish on his leadership and what he can do for the Pac-12 conference going forward. We do have a remarkable conference. And sometimes geographically, time zone wise, you get a little bit sheltered. People don't hear as much or see as much about the league. Tremendous world-class institutions academically, athletic departments that are really powerful, and tremendous programs, and very broad-based. A real long-standing commitment to broad-based, strong programs across the board. Not just locking in on some premier sports and being good, but really making a commitment across the board. And that's been a long-standing. And then again, the academic side is critical in the Pac-12. And so you combine all those things, it is a fantastic league. And but there's no question we need to position ourselves going forward with our new media package, new media rights package, the ability to promote and put our program in places that are so important in this day and age, because that exposure drives that attention, drives a lot of things, certainly drives revenue to the institutions and to the league. And that will be the key thing over the next 2.5 years of getting positioned properly to take that next leap. And again, I'm very fortunate. I think our conference, we have outstanding presidents who are committed to moving that forward. And then through Georgia's leadership, we're gonna be in a very good place.
I did a recent interview with Jimmy Pollard, and he was referencing the Carnegie Foundation study from 1929 that said there was a conversation about needed government involvement in college athletics, that student athletes weren't really students, and that coaches were paid too much, 1929. Yeah. So almost 100 years later, here we are, and there's some common themes, right, among others. And it's easy for those of us who have been around for a long time to step back and say, man, there's a lot in this gumbo right now, right? Transfer portal, social justice issues, Alston, NIL, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think that tough times or where there's a lot happening, calls for extraordinary leadership. You're someone who's been around long enough that you're one of those guys that has to exercise extraordinary leadership. How are you choosing to lead during these crazy times?
Well, it is a different time in our industry, but we think back. There's been moments where we've thought we could never get to that next hurdle. This was going to be the real difficult challenge for college athletics, and we found our way through. There's rocks and there's bumps and there's hiccups, but we generally find a way to come together as a collective body to move the industry, the enterprise forward. But I do think it's very uncertain times right now, and it's probably more difficult than it's ever been for staff and for for the people who are around our programs daily. And it's just important, I believe, to be really sharing a lot of information, a lot of communication to your teams, to your staff, to the people working for you and with you. And we've got a great team, and I think you've got to be vulnerable too at this time. We don't all have the answers. We don't know what's really going to happen. I've been very open. I'm a strong believer in the college sports model, the collegiate sports model. It's the only place in the world that it occurs, where we mesh this great athletic experience with this tremendous academic experience, growing up as young people. It's powerful. I was a student athlete. Again, I've seen my sons be student athletes. I'm very passionate about that. I understand it's going to move and change and grow, and we're going to be able to provide more for student athletes, but let's not forget the core of that. So I try to explain that. I try to really share all the time how important that is to me and to our program, because I don't want us to lose the bones, the roots, the guts of what's good about it. But we've got to be open to change. We have to be open, and back to it again, lots of communication, be a little bit vulnerable. We don't know where we're going to go. Let's rally together and try to find a way to get to the right spot. And I think in this times of uncertainty, and then when we've gone through the pandemic, and people, I think, kind of wake up every day going, what next? Or how can, we need to hold that group together, because I think the next chapter can be very good. It will be different, but it will be very good for college athletics if we can all come together, as we've done in the past, as a group, as colleagues, as people that care deeply about student athletes. If it goes in a different direction, then maybe we need to, you know, refocus. You know, maybe there are some different options for student, for athletes in the future. But I think there's something powerful about the student athlete experience. So
we just wrapped up a great College World Series where Ole Miss won the national championship, competitive baseball season. A team, by the way, that didn't know on decision day if they were getting in the tournament.
How about that?
Right?
Yeah.
You played baseball. Your sons played baseball. Any strong feelings about the state of the game of baseball and whether or not the way scholarships are structured in baseball needs to continue to be revised or looked at? Interested in your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm very proud of the game of college baseball. I've had the opportunity to sit on the committee twice, chair of the baseball committee, been involved in the transition from Rosenblatt to the new stadium downtown in Omaha. So I think the game has grown so much, and now you see so many college players on major league rosters. You know, it's a great training ground. So I think the game has never been healthier. I do believe we've got to take a look at how we support many of our sports. I wouldn't just single out baseball, but certainly baseball and the need for, you know, an opportunity for more scholarship dollars to be, you know, lodged there. We've done so many different things to the game and improved it from the student athlete side too. We've worked very hard in college baseball with Major League Baseball to get the draft kind of in the right spot, to really connect a lot of loose ends that were probably fraying the game early, but now brought it together. So, again, being a strong advocate, I'd look for more ways, for more opportunities, and more scholarship growth in the game of baseball. I think it'd be good for the game, and I think there's opportunity out there to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so last question. Transformation Committee, a lot of work going on. There's a lot of conversation here this week at NACTA about the Transformation Committee. A lot of conferences are meeting independently about it. Mm-hmm. You and your peers, I'm sure, are talking about it. What do you look to as being the most viable outcomes of that? I'm not necessarily saying specificity here, but what do you think has to come out of this on the other side to make sure that this model continues into the long run? And where does Arizona fit in all that?
Yeah, I think, it's so uncertain. I think we need some clarity. We need some points, some beacons to be set out there that we can follow and move towards. I think right now we're just sailing or swimming very fast through the night, trying to keep moving forward, but we don't really know where we're going to end up. And that's problematic in my mind. You know, that's where you see a rush to do a lot of different things, whether that's in name, image, and likeness, or worries about funding, or how we can talk about more scholarships. I think we've got to decide, you know, what are our beacons and where are we going as an industry? And I hope that the committee can begin to start to place some of those out there, and then we as the different divisions can work together to really begin to chart that course. Okay, mm-hmm. How are we going to get there? What are the most important considerations for us? I do think we need some guardrails. I don't think just pulling everything back and unlimited on everything is good for college sports and good for, you know, for the enterprise. It's going to be very difficult to sustain it in that way. We need guardrails. We need control points. We need some maximum and minimums. Otherwise, I think it becomes very problematic. But I do think there's going to be a separation and a growth curve that people are going to have to determine which area of that growth curve am I going to live. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it allows us to begin to then make good, conscious decisions that fit our programs the right way. And that's challenging. I've been at the Central Michigan in the Mid-American Conference, modest budgets, very competitive programs, value the experience for their student athletes, but do it in a little bit different way. Same number of student athletes at Central Michigan as we have at Arizona, but yet about $80 to $90 million difference in budget, in dollars that you can, you know, allocate to your student athletes and their experiences and your coaches and the things that you can do. So that probably is what really strains the overall group. And then, so again, how can we place people in that curve, find the right spots, be very proud that's what's going to happen, and work towards it. And then again, we can make really good decisions for our programs. We want to be a high-level, high-performing program. Yeah. That's what our people expect. That's where we want to be. That's where we traditionally have been. So we'll continue to look for that as we go forward and being a part of that that high end or the end of the curve that we want to be on.
That's awesome. Very insightful interview. It's moved very quickly. I really appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate you having me.
Same here. All right, folks. He's Dave Hickey, the athletic director at the University of Arizona. And I'm Mike Hamilton, your host for From the Chair. Listen to us wherever you listen to your podcast on audio every Wednesday and on YouTube if you want to see the video. Goodbye now from Las Vegas. See you next week.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.